Fellow Freedom fans, we're back. Yeah, we're back with the Faith and Freedom Show on the Eagle 104.3 FM. We're talking about this cap and trade, the source of these strange things that are happening in Congress. Is it from Congress? Is it really from the United States? Is that where this stuff is coming from? Just before the break and before a couple of calls, I was talking about this history of this global carbon tax and the history of this old climate change move. It's extra American, it's extra governmental, it's extra people, it's extra rational. It's part of the pandemic that has now swept the globe, but especially in North America. And again, the goal is, it looks like, and it's spoken here in this UN report, that it will drive a flow of money into a global multilateral adaptation fund, a funding scheme which generates resources required to address the dimension of challenge with regard to climate change costs. Now, where are these funds going to go? Is this going to be reparations? Is that what it's going to be? Some kind of reparation? Oh, because somebody's burned some trees in North America, you and who knows where, we're going to give you some funds. And oh, by the way, it only costs, you can take $400 million in America and get the same amount of spending with $100,000 in certain parts of the globe. So who knows where that other, of course, you're going to have to fund the administrative staff with the global governance, right? It goes on to say, and again, these are UN people. These are UN people pushing this, saying this. They're just being very bold about this nowadays. A climate change response must have at its heart a redistribution of wealth and resources. This is out of the statements by the people at this UN meeting. It's happening right before your very eyes, America. And where are you putting your money? Hey, are you going to let them get it in your taxes? Hopefully you can pass it on to your children as an inheritance. Maybe you can find somebody who's willing to take some of these things on and fund them, because you know what? There's a whole lot of work that's required to maintain our freedom, and there's a whole lot of commerce you can't do while you're doing that freedom fighting work. That's something to think about. So be mindful of those who are giving their best for the sake of their posterity, and be conscious of it and consider it. So I'm going to hear something from Congress. This is a Representative Walden. He's a congressman, and he's going to make a comment here, and it's going to take a couple of minutes to listen to, and then I'm going to go to a Senate Minority Report that was published in March and is so far being completely ignored. Of course, it went to the Senate Minority and not to Congress. But let's hear what he said about what the EPA is doing with the studies that are happening in-house.
Bypassing the normal process of accompanying a finding with proposed rules, that's how they normally do it, that would have required a comprehensive evaluation of the economic impacts. These emails open a small window into that flawed process and reveal a successful effort to silence a senior EPA professional and possibly others whose work apparently would have had a negative impact with what the Obama administration wanted. It's time to put the spotlight of the Oversight and Investigation Subcommittee on the EPA's process and the pressure it put on one of its most senior public servants, and possibly others. It's time to find out why the EPA officials suppressed the work of Dr. Alan Carlin and possibly other EPA staffers and successfully prevented EPA research and analysis from being considered.
Well, that's what's going on. Why? Because it doesn't agree with, quote unquote, my plan. Whoever my is, my, we have to name my. We're going to find out who this my is. There's a my out there who has his plan. And see, the EPA scientist statistician that came up with the report, his statistics did not support what was being put forth by the administration and by Congress. So the Environmental Protection Agency wasn't necessarily concerned about what the facts were. And actually what they did, they got a number of quote-unquote scientists that came up with this global warming climate change catastrophe plan. this catastrophe story, this proposition. Well, let's see what the U.S. Senate Minority Report had. Now, the last update on this report turned out it was in mid-March of this year. So that came out before this cap and trade thing. Let's see what this says. And the previous report said over 650 dissenting scientists were complaining about what the EPA was reporting. But now the update says, because 59 more scientists checked in on this, over 700 dissenting scientists from around the globe challenged man-made global warming claims made by the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change and former Vice President Al Gore. And this is a new report, 255-page U.S. Senate Minority Report that has been updated. Actually, it was mid-March. And it says there was a groundbreaking report in 2007, over 400 scientists who voiced skepticism about the so-called warming, a global warming, quote-unquote, consensus. Now, look what this comes up to. Over 700 dissenting scientists now. It's more than 13 times the number of UN scientists who authored the media-hyped, they call it the IPCC 2007 Summary for Policymakers. So the UN has got together and contracted quote-unquote scientists. They've got the degree. They've got the paper on their wall. And they've been contracted to make a summary. But there's people, a greater number, who would come out now, even risking their careers, of course. And this is a very politically charged issue. And have come out and said, this is bogus. This is bogus. So let's see what this is. Promoters of anthropogenic warming fears endured the following. Watch this. Global temperatures failing to warm, peer-reviewed studies predicting a lack of warming, a failed attempt to revive the discredited hockey stick, whatever that is. And there's all kinds of things. The rising CO2, in fact, I read one report, may actually influence cooling on the Earth. So there's a whole lot of things besides, you know, causes of hurricanes and volcanoes and especially sunspots. Oh, by the way, that the big heat flash you get from the sun was excluded from these reports about global warming, and some scientists say that it is the thing that has the greatest effect. Now, here's, I don't put too much trust in somebody just because they've got a Nobel Peace Prize or something, because the same people who have the Nobel Prize winners for economics are the guys who designed the financial catastrophe we're in throughout the globe. So I'll just skip that one, Nobel Prize winner statement. That's what he gets for being a Nobel Prize winner. He is a Nobel Prize winner for physics. I'm going to go on to somebody else, an atmospheric scientist, Dr. Joanne Simpson, the first woman in the world to receive a PhD in meteorology and formerly of NASA. She's authored more than 190 studies and has been called among the most preeminent scientists of the last 100 years. Let's see what she says. Since I'm no longer affiliated with any organization nor receiving any funding, okay, now that she's not going to lose anything, I can speak quite frankly. As a scientist, I remain skeptical. The main basis of the claim that man's release of greenhouse gases is a cause of warming is based almost entirely upon climate models. We all know the frailty of models concerning the air surface system. Here's the other thing. Warming fears are the worst scientific scandal in history. When people come to know what the truth is, they will feel deceived by science and scientists. And this is a UN IPCC scientist, one of the people supposedly who they should have relied upon, said when people come to know what the truth is, they will feel deceived by science and scientists. Hey, thanks for calling Eagle 104.3. What's your question or comment?
Hey, Dave, it's Mark, Conjunction Junction. I'll try to slow it down for you.
That's good.
How you doing today?
That was good. Well, get right to it, Mark.
Yeah, okay, Dave. Are you going to be at Lecanto?
No, I'm not.
You know Jenny Brown Waite was a drug lobbyist, right?
No, I don't know that.
Okay, well, do know that. Dave, I was going to ask you, apart from China building one coal plant a month and mercury increasing and we can't lead by example and I like Al Gore, I was going to ask you from a religious, biblical perspective and love your neighbors, you love yourself perspective, which you always preach, how would you explain, I was considering calling your show last week, with Robert McNamara passing away, being the architect of Vietnam. Can you explain your position on Vietnam and, from a biblical standpoint, justify your position in whatever regard? And I'll hang up and see what kind of Christian you are.
Wait, don't go away. I need more clarification, because okay. That was a twist. There's a great movie out. It's called Up, and they have this thing where the dogs go, squirrel. It's like they get distracted. So,
I thought I was in a hurry, so I was making...
No, you're good. I missed the point of Mr. McNamara. I know he died, and...
58,000 Americans died in a war that lasted 16 years, Dave, and you're a veteran. I'm a veteran. I was wondering if you could explain to the listeners what would be your take on the Vietnam War from a religious standpoint. Was the war justified? Were all those Americans necessary to die? And what was the benefit of that, or not the benefit? And I would like to hear your take on it from a religious perspective, and then I'll judge.
Well, what if I don't have a? I don't really know. I haven't figured that one out yet about Vietnam.
Well, you know, just give you a little insider trading on it. Kellogg Brown and Root, the world's largest oil construction company, was in Vietnam with Shell Oil, and Kellogg Brown and Root's in this war in Iraq. They just changed the name so they don't have to pay taxes to your nation and tell you how patriotic they are. They're called Halliburton, the same company. But if you do that, you'll end up in Leavenworth, whether you're a civilian or military person. But I think that Vietnam was a sin. I think that bombing poor people from 20,000 feet with 500-pound bombs, I don't think Jesus or God wants us to be doing that. I'm not a real religious person, but it just seems like a sin to me to bomb poor people with sticks and stones. And and I wondered, since you're a religious person, if you had a perspective on it, because we've got the so-called two wars right now, and they're actually directly connected somehow or another.
Okay, let's go with that.
All right.
And this is better. See, this is more conversational, and that's why I like Mark. This is good.
Well, I thought I was in a hurry, so I had
No, you're not in a hurry. It was just you don't need to get all the points. It's kind of like my lawyer complains to me about non-lawyers doing lawyer's work. Is that we don't just stick with little finite, little succinct points. We can actually get a lot more done with a nice, narrow discussion, and then we can have a discussion, and we can have fun. It's just, don't stretch too many thoughts together in one phrase, because it makes it a little harder for conversation.
Plus, the show is coming to an end. I just wanted to...
No, that's good. Let me get to it.
All right, thanks, Dave.
One of the things about the war situation, which quite frankly, you and I think everybody, if they look at it objectively, if they step back, they'll see that there are parties who are making benefit off of the silly war, that it's not necessarily driven by the interest of the people who are there. Now, I will tell you, obviously, the Khmer Rouge came in and murdered a whole bunch of people because that's what they thought was their, they took pleasure in doing that. But so I will tell you that there's people in power that exploit fears, superstitions, and it's competing commercial interest. I think for the most part, certainly are the things that drive wars, even though there may be a claim publicly, a marketing claim, that it's for some just cause. What do you think?
Well, that sounds good. I just found it interesting that most of the Americans that voted for the last president for the last 8 years don't even realize who Robert McNamara is, probably, and he was alive during most of their lives, and they don't even realize he stood opposed to war, and he actually feels sorry for being the few architects of it, and actually apologized to it. But these same people, because they get wrapped up in a religious perspective, which I don't find to be very sincere, are willing to send themselves and their neighbors, their mothers, their fathers, their brothers, another war, and they come back with no legs. So
I agree with it. Hey, I thought about that today, and we've got a few seconds, but I thought about that today, and I thought about Afghanistan. There are some just reasons. In fact, there could be some wicked people fighting the Taliban. You know why? The Taliban's wicked. Okay, so sometimes if I look in biblical history, wicked people were used to correct wicked people. We beg for it. A righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That's a good comment. We got to go. We got 10 seconds to go. Thanks, Mark. And check us out tomorrow. We're going to come back with some interviews about people who are putting forth some legislation that's going to affect you.